The Legal Corner Podcast Series. Welcome to today's episode of The Legal Corner, a podcast which covers a variety of legal issues to keep you informed. Hosted by attorney at law Colin Dinoon and communication specialist Leonardo Torres.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Legal Corner podcast series. I am your host, Colin Dinoon, attorney at law, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Leonardo Torres, who's our resident communication specialist. Good day, Leonardo. How are you?
Not bad at all, Colin. Very busy at work today. Just took a little hour to be with you all. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Very glad that we are at the end of another week. I'm looking forward to getting to my home in this rainy weather that we are experiencing today.
Same
at the
here.
Time of our recording. You know, this is the rainy season, so all of that is expected, right?
Correct.
Definitely. To all our regular listeners, we say thank you for your continued support. If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, you may be wondering, what is the Legal Corner podcast? Well, the Legal Corner podcast series is a bi-monthly show originating in the Twin Island nation of Trinidad and Tobago and is aimed at providing you with insight into various aspects of the law. In today's episode, we will be looking at the topic of women in law. Female attorneys, just like women in other fields of endeavor, face peculiar challenges, and we decided to dedicate an episode towards ventilating this issue. Joining us on the show today to provide some perspective on this topic is Ms. Melina Barrow. Melina Barrow is a principal attorney at Tenorik Legal, which is a virtual legal practice that she established in the fourth quarter of 2021. At Tenorik Legal, her primary practice areas are civil law and litigation, corporate, commercial and contract law, public, administrative, employment and sports law. She was admitted to practice in Trinidad and Tobago in 2012 and in Antigua and Barbuda in 2014, where she practiced for over 4 years. Prior to her legal career, she was a human resource professional in Trinidad and Tobago and in the United Kingdom. She graduated from the Hugh Woding Law School in 2012 and the University of the Western East Keyville Campus in 2010. She also holds a BSc Government degree with minors in Human Resource Management and Management Information Systems from the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine Campus, which she was awarded in 2005. She is a co-author of the anthology Women in Law, Discovering the True Meaning of Success, which was published this year, and in the Akbar Legal Journal article, A Word to be Cyberwise, published in 2020 in Volume 2, Number 1. She is also the co-author of the article TNT After COVID-19, published on June 2nd, 2022, in the American Chamber of Commerce of Trinidad and Tobago Linkage Magazine. You can follow or connect with her on LinkedIn, or you can visit her website at www.tenoriklegalandconsulting.com. Welcome to the Legal Corner, Melina.
Thank you for having me, Colin, and also Leonardo. It's a pleasure.
It's excellent having you on. Now, I want you to tell us a bit about your journey towards becoming an attorney. I know you have a very interesting story, and I want you to share your journey with us.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a straight shot at target, as you would see. I guess I articulated the goal of becoming an attorney as a teenager that was expressed during an interview with a sport journalist. In terms of, she asked me what I want to be, and I said I wanted to be an attorney and work for the UN. Obviously, that was, you know, me just being a young person, and I guess speaking things into existence at that time. And the journey wasn't, it started with that. And then I had a couple, well, not straight, it didn't continue on a straight path, because I would have had a career in human resources And I worked both locally and overseas in that area. And then I switched lanes to become an attorney. I would have switched lanes because it was always something I wanted to do, and I didn't get into the faculty immediately. So I left my last HR job at senior HR representative, and then I started the academic, you know, journey of qualifying. And after that, you know, it came to fruition in 2012 with me being admitted to practice in Trinidad and Tobago. And the journey has had its milestones and had its hurdles. I think the key milestones were me practicing both locally and regionally, and also practicing as in-house counsel locally. And now I'm on another journey, which is the solo practitioner at Tenoric Legal, which has its own, presents its new hurdles and challenges to overcome.
Glad you would have mentioned challenges, because we all encounter various challenges at different stages in our lives, and I'm sure you would not have been exempt from them. So I want you to tell us, looking back on your journey thus far, especially as it relates to when you were making that transition from HR into law, tell us a bit about the challenges that you would have had to overcome.
So the initial challenges, making the switch, was obviously giving up a fairly fruitful career. I was making a fair amount of strides. So going from a fully employed person to then being a full-time student in the faculty. And then obviously being a little bit older than a lot of the people in the A group, that is unique. Not much older, but, you know, I would have had a degree before. So you're talking about at least a 5-year difference between myself and some of my colleagues in the faculty. And then you had, as I went along, you had some other challenges. A lot of it I get into in the book that I would have co-authored this year. But if I could always to get into it here, I would say, like, I tried a couple of times to get into the faculty. So that would have been the initial set of hurdles until I actually got admitted in 2007, September. Then I would have had when I started the law studies, I would have had a couple of setbacks with two courses that I wouldn't have passed. That interesting bit of my life, they could also get, listeners could also learn about in our anthology. That I would have had to deal with, you know, supporting my ailing father during his illness. That was a critical moment as I was in law school. Then just as I got into practice, you had the whole misconceptions about my age and my seniority because I look so young. I guess, you know, it's a blessing, but people will look at me and think I'm just probably out of law school or I'm just newly admitted. So that is the interesting thing I'm presented with on occasion. But all in all, it's something that, I guess, it goes with the territory. I'm grateful for the good genes, and I'm also grateful that now after career in law, I'm going to be celebrating my 10th year bar call later this year, after being admitted to practice in Trinidad in 2012. And then I had some other interesting challenges when I would have moved overseas to practice regionally in Antigua and Barbuda. And that came around a fairly steep learning curve in terms of the culture and the nuances and the practice of law and the just life in general. I think I wrapped my mind around that fairly decently after a while. I spent 4+ years there. I think it was 4 good years, a really good growing period and learning period. And then I had to endure almost a reintroduction or reacquainting myself with Trinidad and its the profession and the culture and everything in returning to Trinidad. So that's a bit about my hurdles. And now I just have the new startup hurdles of Tenoric Legal, which, you know, it's impossible.
All right.
Interesting Belinda, first of all, now, but it's
you know, congratulations on, you know, you approaching your 10th year of being called to the bar in Trinidad and Tobago. That's a big achievement. I must congratulate you on that. So you would have touched a bit on this book, Women in Law. So Colin and I had the pleasure of, you know, having a read, getting a copy each and having a read of this book, Women in Law, Discovering the True Meaning of Success, an anthology. What would you say is, you know, was the inspiration behind this book? Just tell us a bit about this book.
So Women in Law, thanks for that, Leonardo. And thanks for the congratulations. Women in Law was birthed out of a very unfavorable situation, I would say. It was actually a response to an article that came out in the published via the American Bar Association by a particular author. I can't recall the name now, but I wouldn't give that much attention. But in short, the article was not an accurate representation of the unique professional journeys and advancement coupled with life, family, and other experiences women in law adeptly manage and overcome to make them a success. So that article brought about worldwide outrage, I would say, among women in the fraternity, and people chose to advocate against it in different ways. They had people signing petitions, writing in the US, social media posts, a few people in the Caribbean and in Trinidad may have spotted the article. Similarly, they would have had their views online. And then our group of 23 just decided to come together to take the route of the anthology. So that is pretty much to dispel all the misconceptions and misrepresentations of that article. So the book chronicles the professional careers of the lives of various global women in law as they demonstrate their stories of success. And in the final analysis, that story is a self-defined story. It's not what our peers or our colleagues or our families, the profession or the society dictates. From the writing experience, I would say that you realize that the sooner we realize that the external success validation model is more like a recipe for disaster, the better. And the book, I would say, is not, while the title is Women in Law, Discovering the True Meaning of Success, it's not just geared or targeted towards the reader who's the lawyer. It is pretty versatile. It appeals to, and it could be read by and resonate with anyone in any area, in any profession. I think each chapter for me struck a chord in some way, and various aspects of each story point to a time in my life and my career when I was actually walking in the co-author's shoes in some way. So I'll encourage anybody to go out and buy the book, which is available via ebook and paperback on Amazon and other platforms like Barnes & Noble, Apple, Kobo. And then also if they want to dive deeper into, you know, getting to know the authors, they could follow us on LinkedIn. A lot of us are on LinkedIn.
Thank you for sharing that about the book. And I mean, I must say I've been reading the book for some time now, and I do encourage, as you just did, you know, people to get a copy and give it a read, because it's quite an interesting read. Now, can you talk a bit about how you think you became selected as a contributing author, and maybe at any point in your life, did you ever see yourself as writing or maybe co-authoring a book or doing a book of your own?
Thanks for that question, Leonardo. I think it is something that comes up quite often. So being part of this anthology wasn't really a selection process per se. It was pretty much, I mean, Colin could attest to this, the LinkedIn community in overseas, which is really, really generous and welcoming. And they really operate from a growth and abundance mindset, especially those from Africa, USA, Canada, the UK, and the like. So what ended up happening was co-author Angela Han, who I follow on LinkedIn, she pretty much galvanized authors for the book via one of her LinkedIn posts. And she had a pretty much a call for authors post encouraging us, anyone, to email her as a sign of interest. And to respond to that ABA article. And that post attracted several attorneys from all over the world. So we pretty much decided to say yes and step forward and decided to be honest about our story and stay the course of the writing journey. Some authors fell off along the way, and then we came down to the final 23. So it pretty much was not a complicated process. It was just a matter of putting aside all our fears and ears and any external opinions and projections and stepping up and being a part of the project. I would say in terms of the writing journey, I have always been on it somewhat. I haven't published, but I've been writing for myself. I've been writing just as a kind of therapeutic process, you know, when I was dealing with, you know, different deaths in my family and with loved ones. And that book unpublished, I should say, is there. It's just not in a state of completion. And other than that, I've been writing legal journal articles. I've written, you know, for other professional publications. So I think I've been testing the waters a bit. I'm actually in the process of doing another anthology, but I'll be sport related. So essentially, this book project came out of that. I'm always sharing about the beauty and the benefits of community, and that's pretty much how the opportunity presented itself, combined with me stepping forward, saying yes, and just being candid about my story and staying the course.
All right, thank you very much for that. So at this time, we'll take a quick break. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. Abelina, before the break, you were giving us some interesting tidbits about your journey as a writer, and you had even spoken to us about the generosity that is prevalent in the LinkedIn community. I myself have benefited from being a part of the LinkedIn community, and I believe it really is a game changer, especially for persons who may be in business or are seeking to establish their brands or their thought leadership. Coming back to the whole issue of women in law and so on, I appreciate that women face peculiar challenges in their professional life. And you know, Leonardo and myself as men, we would not believe, I believe, be fully able to articulate those challenges, even though we may read about it, we may comprehend what and the challenges faced by female attorneys. So I want you to talk to us a bit about that based on your nearing 10 years experience. What would you say are some of the challenges faced by female attorneys at law?
To answer that question, I think I'll have to be on the safe side. I'll contextualize my response to my generation. You know, in terms of my age group, and you know how many years I've been practicing. So, because honestly, women before my time would have had some different challenges. I wouldn't even some of it which I've heard, and some of which I can't imagine practicing in that era and enduring some of those things. But I'll talk about what I can speak about from my experience, the experiences of colleagues in this generation. So what I would have to say is one of the challenges, one of the things that I've kind of put in is the pay disparity. I've seen signs of that between like male lawyers being paid more than female lawyers, and those are for jobs requiring the same numbers of years experience. And sometimes even males who are junior to the females are being paid more than the females. So that pay disparity, that is one thing that I've noticed. I also see that when, in terms of matters, court matters, when there's a large battery of lawyers on a matter and possibly a junior, there may be one or two junior female lawyers, what you find is that the appearances are entered and orally. However, when it comes to recording of the appearances on the written judgments, you have just certain, you know, by the time they reach probably the end of the list where the female lawyers, female junior lawyers may be, they're not recorded on the written judgment, which is something that could be inhibiting for their career and their career progression, because as we all know, the number of reported cases in which you're involved in is a critical thing, you know, for career progression in law. And then you have just general clients. I mean, we love clients, but you know, you have some clients showing preferences towards male lawyers. They either want to be represented by male lawyers or male-run law firms or males in the law firm. And in the absence of that, if they come to a female lawyer, they find that they may want females to adapt their approach to the practice or to the matter or to the style of advocacy to be more male-oriented, right? And then you have also clients might think that junior female lawyers on a legal team are just there to handle legal admin, email admin, copies, calls, anything that they think is menial or unimportant. And that could be sometimes the furthest thing from the truth, because the female junior lawyers are sometimes doing a lot of heavy lifting in terms of research, in terms of drafting, in terms of matter management and client care. It's just a general misconception and fallacy that clients could tend to have in terms of how they think the role they think female junior lawyers play on a team. And then you have the bigger issues like work-life imbalance, which arises from inflexible or rigid work schedules and arrangements, and the adverse impact that could have on children and family and the family unit as a whole. And then the HR cultures and HR and culture related issues that are cropping up or present in the legal workplaces and legal departments. I think those are the most challenging things I've seen female lawyers encounter in my 10 years so far.
Okay, that's really interesting. I always give some thought to the whole aspect of a pay disparity. Do you have any thoughts on what leads to that pay disparity?
I believe the pay disparity could just, it could be, I don't want to blame females, but sometimes in terms of how you sell yourself in the recruitment process, I mean, there are a lot of articles out there which says males, I mean, in terms of whether they could do the job or not, they will just woo you at the interview or recruitment stage, and somehow they'll get in there, and if they have to wing it, they wing it along the way. And so they could command a particular high pay grade or negotiate better sometimes, even outside of the normal range, pay range or pay scale. So that is just could be a female-male thing in terms of negotiation and managing the recruitment process. But also, depending on just some practices and some by employers, they just tend to have a leaning towards males and would rather pay a male more than female. It's just kind of historical and traditional, and it goes beyond the legal profession, I would think. But I mean, we see a lot of cases. We saw just recently in terms of the female footballers trying to get equal pay in the US, and I think they just won the case recently. So it's not unique to our profession, but there's a lot of work to be done in that area.
Thank you very much for that. Would you say there's still a glass ceiling as it relates to the professional accomplishments of women?
Thanks for that question. I think it's a must in most conversations about women. In the corporate arena, corporate business and industry settings, you find the glass ceiling is still there, I would say. And what I've seen emerging, which is a kind of disturbing development, is what I would call as a woman-imposed glass ceiling, which seems to be developing over the years. And what exactly is that? It's where I would say females are playing the male game to reach the top. And in the process, they are not seeking to elevate, promote, sponsor, mentor, or collaborate with other females. So essentially, we're just not sending the elevator back down as we rise to the top.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, it's all sometimes, you know, good to look at some of the problems that are being observed within the industry. Sometimes it's also good as young people to, you know, provide solutions and a way forward. What would you say are some of the changes that need to be made in the legal industry to better address women issues?
Thanks for that. We definitely have to be solution oriented. So I would say we can't forget first principles. So we would have all at some point had some taste of employment law, and we know, you know, what's best practice. So I think, you know, we could first start with the addressing the pay parity issues, and just ensuring that male and female lawyers receive equal pay for equal work, for equal years call, qualifications, experience. You know, we as lawyers know the drill and all the considerations we have to take in mind. And we also need to ensure that female lawyers are getting the recognition that they deserve on written judgments, so that everybody is included in the record of appearances. So once we're present at the hearings and at the trial, no matter how long the list of attorneys is, you know, name should appear as counsel on the matter. And at a macro level, I would say that, you know, you could always do with improvements and enhancements to the laws that affect women in the workplace. I think we at Trinidad is a bit not in a good place in terms of our sexual harassment legislation. We have no one piece of legislation that deals with it. We have no charge of sexual harassment in the Sexual Offences Act, as last time I checked. And what you find is, you know, that I don't know if that is maybe a deterrent for people actually coming forward and if they have issues like that in the workplace. And also enhancements and improvements to laws that affect women in terms of possibly maternity leave, entitlements, paternity leave, which I think is something that was being considered, that all will also will enhance the female experience in the workplace. And also I would think continuance, a big thing that came up in the pandemic was work from home. And somehow everybody thinks now we need to revert to the old ways of working. But I think continuance of the work from home or the hybrid arrangements beyond the pandemic could help to improve the experience for women and the work and family arrangements and assist with work-life balance and contribute to the to better health of women in the workplace. Obviously, you want to have more women supporting and advocating and mentoring and sponsoring and collaborating with women, kind of like what we did in the book, right? Take that beyond a book, beyond that kind of venture, just everyday professional activity. And luckily, we have some females already doing that in this present time. There are some bright lights already improving the industry. And I know many long-standing female-run practices and women who've recently started their practices who are aiming to have this sort of impact in the profession, which is also one of the motivations for my starting, for me starting Tenoric Legal late last year.
Okay, Belina, unfortunately, we have come to the end of today's episode. And I must thank you on behalf of the Legal Corner podcast series, myself and Colin. We want to thank you for your time and your wealth of knowledge. And just also for that very refreshing conversation that we had today and that I'm sure all of our listeners would enjoy. Again, we want to congratulate you on your 10th year of being called to the bar in Trinidad and Tobago, which you'll be celebrating later this year. And of course, we would also like to remind our listeners of the book that we would have discussed in today's episode. It's called Woman in Law, Discovering the True Meaning of Success, an anthology. We were able to get our copies on Amazon and it got here pretty quickly. And I would recommend it, and I'm sure Colin would as well, that it is a great read. It really is a fascinating story that covers people, many different people's walk of life, of becoming an attorney. And it can be inspiring to those aspiring attorneys, among other people. Amin, we wish you all the best as well. You have discussed earlier that, you know, you've done a lot of writing and things that are not yet to be published that you're still finalizing. We want to wish you all the best in all of your future endeavors, that included. And again, thank you for your time. And it was a real pleasure having you on our episode today. Thanks again.
Thank you, Colin. And thank you, Leonardo, for having me. It was a pleasure. Great to be here.
Welcome, Belina. Now, this has brought us to the end of another episode of the Legal Corner podcast series. Remember to check us out on social media. On Facebook, we are the Legal Corner podcast series. On Instagram, at the Legal Corner podcast. We are also on Patreon if you're interested in supporting our work. If you enjoyed the show, we'd like to ask you to share it with your friends and family. Feel free to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. We'll also love it if you subscribe to our podcast so you won't miss any of our future episodes. Special thanks to the members of our promotional team who are helping us to get our message out. Bye for now and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Corner podcast series. For more information, please visit us at our Facebook or Instagram pages or send your comments to thelegalcornerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.